Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. Listen, the reason CW wanted to hammer this Corona thing, he went back from the very beginning. He goes from the easy, you know, go from the 1 foot to 3 foot deep of water, teaching how to swim, eventually going into the complex. And you can tell his brain's a lot more powerful than mine. But one thing, it has a lot of relevance, is because the government is talking about bringing this crap back. If you notice, they've recently introduced the so-called monkeypox. Everybody's worried about that. And CW talked about how they started mandating these vaccines. You gotta be vaccinated. You gotta be vaccinated. Well, before I leave the first hour of this, one last thing, I noticed in the news, I heard it earlier today, our illustrious president has been vaccinated for every which way to sundown. You know, I mean, you name the vaccination, he's had it. Well, the sorry SOB is in quarantine because he's got the damn coronavirus. I mean, is that not a wake-up call for these airheads? I don't know. I mean, shit. I mean, and people will still say, oh, you got to get vaccinated. You got to wear your mask. I always tell these libtards downtown, if you just take a Kevlar plug and stick it up your butt, that works a lot better than a mask, because the virus has learned to come up through the anal sphincter. They can't get through those masks you would wear, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, people, we're talking about something. We're bringing two entirely different guests, though. We got this is the Bloody Sword Hour tonight. And, we got our Bloody Swords. But listen, I asked Mark not long ago. I couldn't contact Gene as much as I want to, but Gene will know what we're talking about. Mark has got what they call the Blue Book. It's kind of like what Kennedy put out in 1963, the disarmament of the United States in the time of a peaceful world, something like that. We're supposed to turn our entire military over to the United Nations. But anyway, that's not the Blue Book we're talking about. We got a Blue Book that talks about the structure of the League of the South. I'm League of the South, Mark's League of the South, Gene's League of the South. And if we want to talk about what the League of the South developed to do, you always hear us talking about, oh, we're going to get Southern independence. We're going to get Southern independence. Well, I said, Mark, we need to let the people know how we're going to get this Southern independence. Well, he's going to do it tonight, and we've got some other stuff tying into it. We want to know why. If you listen to this show, keep listening to the show, you won't have to ask, well, why do you want Southern independence? Because the crap that's happening in this country to us, the stuff that's been done to us, is just like, it's worse than a damn horror show. With that, I'm going to shut the hell up. We'll introduce our guest. How you doing tonight, Mr. Mark?
I'm doing great, Eddie. It's a pleasure to be on with you again.
Great to be on with you. Like I told Mark earlier, and Gene knows the drill, I usually try to play the master of ceremonies, bringing our top-tier guests in and out of the breaks. And that's what I'll be doing tonight. You and the Bitter Ender himself will be carrying the show. So we'll introduce the old Bitter Ender. He's always kind of late because he has to always clean that sword because it's just got blood all over it. How you doing tonight, Bloody Sword Bitter Ender?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good for an old fart, man. I tell you what, I got what they call a trigger point in my left calf. I had to go see a registered physical therapist this morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. She's working on my left calf down at a place called Breakaway Running. She said I should be able to go back to running again the next couple of days. You think things like that, is when you run as much as I do, I know your son is a runner. Something's always breaking. It's like an old car.
But I'll make it
through. That's why I got my two stud guys in the night carrying the water for me. I'm carrying the show for me. I carry the water. But anyway,
it can be tough on your body in that pavement every day.
It's pretty tough. Yes, it is, especially climbing stairs, riding a bike, running hills, all that kind of stuff, getting ready for the old New York Marathon, God willing. Well, anyway, Mark, open us up. We talked about, you're going to bring on, before we go to break, introduce us, give us a little bit about this Blue Book. I bet you $10 that the Bitter Ender will know about it. He's been in the League of the South before I was born, I guess. But anyway, no, anyway, he's been in there a long time. And so tell it. You can use the blue book if you want to. Maybe you have it memorized. Why do we even want to have Southern independence? That's a damn rhetorical question. How are we going to go about it, et cetera, et cetera? Are we going to have once we get our Southern independence, are we going to have an executive branch, a judicial branch, a legislative branch? How are we going to defend it all, et cetera, et cetera? So take off, Mark. I set the table as best as my pea brain can do. So now that it's up to you and the bitter ender to take us to the barn.
All right. Well, I hate to have to do this, but let me start off with one small correction. It's called the Gray Book.
Oh, well, I'm colorblind.
And the subtitle of it is A Blueprint for Southern Independence. And it's a book that the League put out. Oh, gosh. I want to say it was back in the early 2000s. I think it's in its second edition now. Anybody who's interested in obtaining a copy of it, you should be able to do so by going to the League of the South's website. And I believe there's a place on there where you can order a copy of it along with any of the other merchandise that the League has for sale. But the purpose of the Gray Book was to do just what you were alluding to, Eddie, was to try to put down in black and white for people to read and think about what our vision for a future free Southern Republic was, and how we would structure our government, how our society and economy would be structured. And so it covers a lot of territory. Now, you know, you have to keep in mind that it kind of hits the high points. It doesn't delve really deeply into a lot of the specifics, because those will have to be determined at the time we gain our independence, and we'll have to see what the cultural, social, economic, and political climate looks like at the time. But as a general rule, we would be politically would be structured as a loose confederation, very similar to what the original Union of States was under the old Articles of Confederation. The federal government will be very limited in its scope and power. The vast majority of powers will rest with each of the individual states that want to be part of this new republic. So we're, you know, our vision for that is to go back to a situation where most people don't even know who the president of the confederation is, much less care what he has to say about certain things from day to day, because we will not have the type of system where it is involved in the minutia of your everyday life like it is now. So that's one big change. In conjunction with that, one of the other things that we're going to do differently is that just because you obtain a certain chronological age and have a pulse does not mean that you will be allowed to cast a vote. Only those people who, to use the old expression, have skin in the game will be allowed to determine who is going to occupy the seats of political power, either at the local, state, or the confederation level. So this idea of just anybody being able to vote, you know, especially those who don't own any property, being able to vote on issues that affect the property of those who do own property, those will be things of the past. You know, I believe it was Karl Marx who actually said or wrote somewhere along the way that when those who own no property can legislate against those who do have property, then private property has been abolished, which is one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto, the abolition of private property. So that's just one way that you can do it. That also means that the property tax, as we know it today, will also be drastically changed. We will be going back to a system where you will hold, when you buy property and you pay for it and it's yours free and clear, you will hold what is known as an allodial title to that property rather than what you have now, which is a fee simple title to that property. And so, therefore, just because you might not be able to pay your tribute to the Lord High Sheriff of your county every year, doesn't mean that they can take your property away from you and auction it off on the steps of the county courthouse to the highest bidder. If you can be deprived by the government of a means to have a place to feed yourself and have a roof over your head, simply because you can't pay a tax from year to year, then there's something drastically wrong going on there. And so that's another thing that's going to have to be changed. Some of the other things as far as defense goes, you know, what our proposal is that whenever a state secedes, it will automatically take possession of all federal property within its borders. So, for example, here in Alabama, that means that Fort Rucker. The Redstone Arsenal, Maxwell Air Force Base, and all the other federal facilities will immediately become, and all of the equipment and weapons and ammunition and everything else therein will immediately become the property of the state of Alabama. Now, there are some people who would argue that, well, you know, when Alabama and the other southern states seceded in the 1860s, they were willing to pay the federal government for all that stuff.
And Mark, we're going to go to our first break. Okay. It's going to break. Sure. People, we'll come back. We're going to play a video. It's a little bit on the long side. It's going to be illustrate one of the questions I asked. Why do we want Southern independence? We're going to play a video, and it's going to tell you one of the reasons why we need Southern independence. So we'll be right back, folks. Be right back.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. freedomfactor.org.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say
something. Oh, dear Blood River Radio family, you ask, you idiots, why do you talk about, you want independence? Why do you want to break away from Sodom on the Potomac, Washington, D.C.? Well, we're just going to give you one little thing. It's recent. It's timely of why we want to break away from this tyrannical place of the Sodom on the Potomac. And so we're going to play this little audio for you. So go ahead, take it away, Cameron.
Welcome back, everybody. As you can probably tell, we are not at home. I am on the road for something not related to the channel, but this story just broke today as of when I'm recording this, probably yesterday as of when I'm releasing this video. So for the title that you guys read, The ATF has shown up at people's houses who bought more than one firearms and is asking to inspect them. So before I get into the details, I'm going to roll in the owner, or the homeowners rather, Ring camera footage that has been released so you guys can see it. And then after that, we're going to come back here and discuss it.
Sir?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I'm doing is verifying that, look, verifying that you have it. You got two different purchases.
Okay.
If you have them, I'm out of here. That's how quick it is. Yeah. You have them with you by any chance? Are they, if you can unload them and bring them out, or you can go out to your foyer here, check them out, by number, sheer number, and we're out of here. Yep.
Okay, it'll take 5 seconds.
The reason we're out here is we're obviously gun and violence has been an uptick, so we want to make sure we've been having a lot of issues with straw purchases. So one of the things we indicators that we get is somebody makes it a large gun purchase.
Sure.
And then a lot of times we've been there like, oh, those guns got taken. We're like,
the idea is when you purchase more than two guns at a time, it generates a multiple sale report. And it comes to us and we have to check them out.
Okay.
That's all that is. You did nothing wrong.
Okay.
Did absolutely zero. I noticed that you were stopped in Philly, though, right, with one of your guns?
We'll wait. Do you feel more comfortable?
I'm okay. I didn't expect
Oh, no. But listen, it just came up. I'm telling you. That's why we came here. Look, listen. There's an email from the federal side saying, hey, can you make sure this guy's got his gun? Now, if you recently just purchased a whole bunch of guns, if we can look at them and just scratch them off, and that way, because I know you're going
to
see this again.
Back. Yeah, we can just write which ones you just bought, and so if we save a trip from coming back, we can confirm that you have them.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I'll go get them.
Okay.
Okay.
We will wait out here.
Okay.
We will stay out here.
Okay.
You can lock yourself in there.
I have a little boy in there in my way.
No. Listen, I understand. We'll stay out here. No big deal.
That's fine.
All right.
We'll stay out here.
All right.
Yeah, I'm playing.
Now that y'all have seen the footage, a few things I probably need to explain for newer folks out there. When you do buy more than one firearm at a time, it does generate a form which is sent to the ATF by your FFL. FFLs have absolutely no choice in this. They have to send it up. In fact, there's some FFLs that won't actually sell two firearms at one time, specifically to not have to deal with this issue. So additionally, this ATF agent claimed that there were seven different firearms that he was interested in looking at. Number one, were all seven on one purchase order? Probably not. So with that, he probably went to the FFL and went through, or if they did an electronic file, or went through those records, pulled this guy's name up, all the serial numbers, make and model of each firearm, and he had them in his hand, as you guys can see in that video. Now, the ATF, as I've discussed in several videos, claims they do not have a firearms database. However, it seems they certainly do, and it seems it was searchable by this agent to be able to pull this person's firearm information and have it with him when he knocked on the door. So there's that. Next, we have to talk about Fourth Amendment. This gentleman has a right to simply close the door, ask them to leave, never come back, exit his property, because obviously they're trespassing at this point, and he chose not to do so. That said, the agent, I believe there's two ATF agents and one Delaware state trooper, that's my understanding anyway. None of them, of course, read him his Miranda rights. None of them said he was charged with anything, because he wasn't. They were just on a fishing expedition. Now, why is the ATF able to do this? So it all comes back to the Gun Control Act of 1968. That is when they put in the provision saying that if you bought two or more firearms at one time, again, a report is sent to the ATF in the belief that it could lead to a straw purchase. Now, the Biden administration has recently said that what they're doing as part of their FFL system reform is that they are going to be checking on folks who are purchasing two or more firearms at a time in the I-95 corridor, Indiana, Nevada, and several other states where they believe there's a lot of straw purchases going on. Now, if you look at where this gentleman lived, just look around the neighborhood, I'm not saying that it can't happen there, but generally speaking, straw purchases happen for people in the hood. This guy appears to live in a decent neighborhood somewhere in rural Delaware. Probably not the kind of place where you're going to see a lot of straw purchases. So it just goes to show, are the ATF agents looking for people who might not be fans of this administration? Possibly. It's certainly possible. And then, of course, like I said earlier, the ATF has no right at all to show up to their door. So if this happens to you, one of two things I would recommend doing: closing the door, telling them to go away, come back with a warrant, although of course they probably won't get a warrant, and then tell them to wait, call an attorney, have them talk to your attorney on the phone if you want to go that far. But in the immediate, I would just close the door. Regardless, what this shows is what this administration is doing, again, weaponizing their agencies to go after people they don't like. And this is just the latest example. There has been many. And looking into the article that I linked down below where I learned this from, apparently the author of the article had called the ATF, the police department that the officer belonged to, and none of them were willing to give a statement. Wonder why. Seems they're not so proud of what they're actually doing. Anyway, with that, guys, if you like the video, go ahead and subscribe if you're not subscribed. If you have subscribed,
well, go ahead, cut it off. You know, people, I think you probably get the message. That was a little bit longer audio than we like to run, but I think it was cram-packed full of evidence. And since Gene hasn't heard it before, I know Mark have. Gene, what's your take on that? Do you think that ties directly into why Southern people want to get the hell away from that Sodom of the Potomac? Go ahead, Gene.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we're living, you know, they say communism died when the Soviet Union collapsed back in 89 or whatever that date was. No, it's alive and well in this country, and it's been run out of Moscow on the Potomac. We have lost our individual freedoms. And Dr. Hill, head of the League of the South, and Mark, I've been to the conferences and heard both of those fine gentlemen speak, and both of them have said, we cannot reform the communist government in Washington. And I don't care if the Republicans sweep the elections this November, and the election's going to be stolen again, I think. They're going to have a new, coronavirus or the monkeypox or the singing, you know, hey, hey, we're the monkeys, you know, whatever they're going to do. They're going to steal the election. They're not going to allow the Republicans to take over the Congress. And even if they do, the Republicans won't do anything. There's so many rhinos in there. It's just like an old football coaching buddy of mine said, it's the same team, different jerseys, and that's it. So, you know, we can't expect the Republicans to change this, because once they get in office, there's too much money to be made, and they want to suck up to the national news media and CNN and the Washington Post and have all of them like them, and they don't want them to write nasty stories about them and criticize them being racist and yada, 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 and all that stuff. So, The League of the South is correct. The only way we can get our freedoms back in this country is to get away from it and get the last lifeboat off of the Titanic. The empire is going to collapse, and that's not being un-American. That's just being historically accurate. Empires collapse. When they throw open their borders and they bring in the Germanic tribes to the Roman Empire or wherever else, and they dilute their population, they overtax, they overextend their military, empires collapse. Roman, Greek, Egyptian, British, Soviet, it doesn't matter who it is, and we're not that exceptional that we can get away with that. It's going to collapse, and we need to get out of there before it sucks us down with it. So I understand exactly what they were doing in that video. You're playing the audio portion of that video, that it's just an extension of the government to intimidate the population and make them cowards and cringe every time somebody from the federal government shows up. And just like Soyuzin said, why didn't, when the Soviet secret police was banging on the door in somebody's apartment, why didn't the rest of the people attack them with knives and pitchforks or axes or whatever they had? And they would think twice about going out to arrest innocent people, because they may not come back. And that's basically what we're going to get to in this country. I think one of these days we'll get enough people to stand up and just stop this nonsense and basically just get away from it. And that's what we need to do in this. And the audio that you played is a perfect example of what we need to do. Get away from that.
Well, you did a great job on that bitter end.
Absolutely.
We have to go to another break. And when we come back, we're going to get Mark's take on just what Gene said, and we'll delve further into the mechanisms, nuts and bolts, if there's any depth for the League of the South for independence. Be right back, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. When Donald Trump's followers, who believed his false accusations about election fraud, stormed the U.S. Capitol, he sat back and watched. That was the narrative the U.S. House of Representatives Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack laid down in 8 hearings over 6 weeks, which wrapped up this week with a study of the former president's actions during the 187-minute assault on Congress by his supporters. As triple-digit heat waves continue to grip parts of the U.S. this week, several companies, including construction and delivery, are taking extra precautions to keep employees safe as they work under the hot sun during the heat of the day. Rhonda Lanew, the executive VP owner of Phoenix company Lyons Roofing, says they constantly hold classes on heat safety.
In the 17 years we've been doing this, if we've had a half a dozen people come off the roof for heat exhaustion, that's probably about it.
This is USA Radio News.
Mike Cappell here, serial entrepreneur with words from another happy payroll customer.
Patriot Software has saved our business by allowing me to focus on other aspects of the business rather than spending so much time on multiple platforms to do the things entailed on running a business. I found Patriot by complete accident, and I don't regret it. It is continuing to save our company, and I'm extremely excited to see what else it entails.
Easy to learn, easy to use, small business software tailored just for you.
Visit us at patriotsoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll free. That's patriotsoftware.com.
With patriotsoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Rochester, New York Police Chief David Smith announced on Friday the arrest of 21-year-old Massachusetts man Calvin Vickers for the murder of 29-year veteran officer Anthony Merkowitz, who was shot and killed in what police called a cowardly ambush Thursday night. Chief Smith says Zerkowitz and his partner, Sino Singh, were targeted while inside their patrol vehicle. Vickers fled the scene and was picked up later by police and will face charges of murder and attempted murder. Rochester Police Captain Frank Umbrino says a juvenile bystander was also wounded during the attack and was treated for non-life-threatening injuries.
Additionally, a 15-year-old female was inside her house nearby, and as she dove for cover after hearing the gunshots, she was grazed by one of 3 bullets that penetrated one of the walls of her house.
Vickers fled the scene and was picked up later by police. He will face charges of murder and attempted murder. This is USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, family, Blood River Radio family out there, I hope you got, hope that audio wasn't too long. I thought it was cram-packed full of vital information, and we're going to go right back and talk about a little bit about that stuff. And also, if there's any, I don't know if Mark wants to go back, and Mark and Gene, to talk about the rest of the structure, the nuts and bolts that'll get the South. But people, the theme of this is, like I originally said, why, I was asking these people, you might ask us, well, why do you even want to be independent? Why would you want to break away from old Uncle Sam? You know, why would you want to get away from a good old American flag? But I think most of our audience knows. So go ahead, Mark, I guess we'll go back to you. And do you have any other nuts and bolts on how the structures of the League envisions this, our Southern independence, what type of government? Or would you like to go straight into why the hell we wanted it? We had a great conversation during the break. So just take off anything you want to, anywhere you want to go at any starting point, Mark.
Let me circle back briefly and finish a couple of talking points about nuts and bolts type stuff. We got caught by the first break, and I was talking about taking over all the federal property and equipment and everything within our state boundaries and not paying the feds for it. And the reason why we don't think we need to pay them for it is that after 150 years of occupation and subjugation and the robbing of our resources, of our people and our land, we've already paid for those facilities 100 times over. We don't owe those Yankee sons of bitches a dime.
Amen.
And so so it's ours. Thank you very much. And all of our Southern boys can leave. The 60% or so of the U.S. military that's made up of Southern boys, they can all come home and serve their states and truly fight for freedom and independence instead of the greed of the Yankee government and the Jewish bankers that finance them.
In the best traditions of Robert E. Lee, when he resigned, he was offered the supreme command of the Yankee Army. He told him to stick it. He was not going to fight against Virginia. Go ahead, Mark.
That's right. Absolutely. So then the other thing that goes away is the income tax. It's completely immoral to begin with to steal the fruits of a man's labor out of his very hands and mouth before he even gets a chance to taste it himself. You know, I've argued for many, many years that if you look at the legal definition of slavery, it consists of saying that you do not own your own labor. Well, explain to me, Mr. Ameritard, how it is that if the government can lay claim to and take away anywhere from 30 to 50% of every dollar you make, explain to me how you're not a slave. You know, and then don't expect me to get all teary-eyed when they run that striped rag up the pole and shed big crocodile tears over what a free country I live in, because it just ain't so. So the income tax goes away. No more filing paperwork with the government every year and having agents come in to swarm around and eat out your sustenance. One of the questions we get asked a lot, too, by a lot of the older people, like my folks, you know, is that, well, okay, if our state becomes independent, do I lose my Social Security benefits and all this other kind of stuff? And the answer to that is no. If you go to the various U.S. government agency websites that pay these benefits, whether it's Social Security or military pensions or any other kind of largesse that they give out, it's a long established deal with them, and you can read it on their website, that any U.S. citizen who lives abroad can still collect all of their money that is being paid to them by the government. So if somebody wants to go ahead and continue to live in a free Alabama but retain their U.S. citizenship, then they can still draw their money from the U.S. government. So that bugaboo has gone away. You know, you don't suddenly lose your Social Security or your Medicare benefits or anything like that. Now, that's not to say that they might not be vindictive and cut people off who start living in who live in a free South, because they've been known to do those kind of things. But as it stands right now, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain by living in a free South versus being a subject of the Yankee Empire. So then you've got trade agreements. You know, it would be so much easier for us as a free South to negotiate reasonable trade agreements with other countries in the world where our farmers, our oil companies and gas companies and all the other people who mine natural resources and whatnot, or who manufacture goods, would be able to equitably trade those goods in an open market with the rest of the world. The other thing we would do in terms of trade would be to set our tariff rates low. And so as it was in the 1860s, if you've got somebody overseas who wants to send their goods to North America and they've got a choice, well, I can send them to New York and I can pay a 45% tax, or I can send them to New Orleans and only pay 10% tax. Where would you send your goods? You know, if you've got two functioning brain cells, well, you're going to send them to New Orleans because everybody is always trying to escape the tax man in one shape, form or another. And so it makes perfect sense. You know, the commerce of the world would be the path to our door. And, you know, again, energy independence. You know, if you want to see gasoline go back to $1, $1.50 a gallon, then you need a free South, because most of the oil and natural gas in North America resides in Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana, and in the Gulf of Mexico off the coast of those states. So if we controlled our own resources, we could be an energy independent energy giant on the world stage. without the U.S. robbing us blind of our resources. So the advantages to our people of independence from the U.S. empire are legion. And, you know, you asked the question a moment ago, Eddie, you know, people say, well, why would you not want to be part of the United States? Well, you know, this, that, and the other. Well, my question is, why do you want to be part of it? The guys in Texas, the Texas Nationalist Movement, I thought they had a brilliant stroke of genius in their campaign to get Texas to secede. And they started reversing the question. And they asked the question this way. Well, if Texas were an independent country right now and had an opportunity to become part of the United States, would you? And of course, the obvious answer to the vast majority of Texans is, hell no, we wouldn't be part of the United States. Look at all the trouble it causes us. So, well, you just answered the question on secession then. If you were already free and wouldn't join the American Union, then why do you not want to leave it for the same reason? You know, it makes perfect sense. You know, speaking of Texas and, you know, the southern border, the immigration problem. We would solve the immigration problem. Here in Alabama a few years ago, we passed a law to control this illegal immigration problem. And where I live in northern Alabama, there are a lot of illegal Mexicans up here working in Tyson's chicken processing plant. And when that law went into effect, there were four or five towns in this part of Alabama that were boarded up almost overnight. We were shopping for my wife a new car. At that time, a salesman we talked to had a child in one of the junior high schools there, and he told us, he said, overnight, the student population of my daughter's school dropped 35%.
God, that's great.
But what happened? What happened? The same thing that always happens, Eddie. Some SOB files a lawsuit in a federal court, and then some federal judge slaps Alabama or Arkansas or Louisiana or Georgia or whoever on the hand and says, no, 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 bad Alabama, you can't do that. That's against the law. And they strike our law down. And what happened? Overnight, they were all back here. You know, I don't understand. Why do we continue to obey these people when the things they do are so egregiously immoral, unconstitutional, and evil? I mean, you know, the speech I gave at the national conference earlier this year, one of the things I pointed out was about being law-abiding, being obedient. And St. Thomas Aquinas teaches in his Summa Theologica that obedience is a virtue that is subservient to justice. Justice demands that everybody gets what's rightfully due to them. And if you are asked to obey something that is unjust, then as a Christian, you are obligated to disobey that. You know, yes. So this idea of, oh, well, we got to obey the law. No, you don't. If the law goes against, if a civil statute goes against the law of God and the natural law, then you are obligated to resist that, not to lay down and roll over on your back like a lap dog and wait for a belly rub.
You know, Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England followed up on that and said the same thing in the commentaries. And, you know, I probably, y'all know that most of our founding fathers came over here, had our law in this country here was pretty much based on the Blackstone's commentaries. People, we're going to go to a quick break. We come back, we're going to go back to the old bitter ender and let him chime in and give us his 2 cents worth on what Mallard just got through saying. Be right back, folks.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, this I can't believe this is the last segment, man. Listen, but I'm glad Gene reminded me about something. I want to ask him about it. He's got a lot of stuff to respond about what Mark was talking about. But I'm going to throw something else out there for them. Recently, there's been a House Resolution, H.R. 4350, if I remember right. I almost forgot about it. It's the National Defense Authorization Act. And it's a very, very ominous. I heard this guy named Centilli. He's been on several shows. Been on Alex Jones' show once. He did a great job. But here's, in a nutshell, I tried to pull up this law, Gene and Mark, and it's just hundreds of pages. I couldn't get through all of it. But anyway, in there it says, and the good old Jewish Democrat, Satanist, I guess that's all one and the same, you know, kind of duplicative speaking. You know,
you repeat yourself.
That's right. He's put in this resolution that all oversight of the military will be taken away from the Congress, from the courts, from the states. The only person that will have any say-so over the military will be these wonderful presidents like old Sleepy Joe, like Biden. And they said they didn't want to do it when Trump was in there. Lord knows I'm not the biggest fan of Trump in the world. He had a lot of faults, but he had, you know, they hated him. And he wasn't looked at as a dictator, I would guess. But anyway, this is what they want. Which, in other words, what they're doing with this resolution, that the Jews in the Congress, what's up? I've heard one fellow talks about him, Robert Kennedy, bless his soul, you know, as evil as he was. He calls these congressmen, y'all, indentured servants of the big transnational corporations. So anyway, that's what they want to do, Gene. They want to, and they've also said, before I forget this, they also said they're not trying to hide it. They said they're going to come after. The reason they want to do that is they want to be able to go come after domestic terrorists. They want to come after, what's the other one? Insurgents. Another one, they said, in other words, troublemakers that talk about the Bible, the Second Amendment, the Constitution, stuff like that. So that's what they want. Yep, that's what they want. What about that, Gene? I hope that didn't load you. I know you wanted to make some comments about what Mark said.
That's fine. That's what a dictatorship does. And look at any of these countries that were run by the communists or any of these dictators in the Caribbean islands or South America, Central America, that's the first thing they do. They give military power to one person, and they go after their political enemies, just like Sleepy Joe is going after the people that were Trump supporters. And they don't need a resolution in Congress to do that. They're doing it already. I mean, why are they wasting their time with that? They're doing that already and locking people up that were there at the Capitol on January 6th, and they've been in jail for I don't know how many months. And no charges or anything. They're just going to let them rot in jail and for misdemeanors. So, you know, yeah, they may have this resolution in Congress, but they're already doing it. Why do they need that? So wanted to make a couple of comments on what Mark had said in our previous segment. He was talking about, and I've had this discussion with a lot of people about the South seceding, and they say, oh, we can't do that. How can we afford to do that? I said, you know, we don't need the United States, the northern United States. The northern United States needs us. We have
Amen.
Enough gas and oil in Texas and Louisiana and off the Gulf Coast. We could be self-sufficient, just like Mark said. We could be self-sufficient. We could get gas for 80 cents a gallon and sell it to the Yankees for $8 a gallon. You think money wouldn't come rolling in like that and get rid of that income tax, maybe have a national sales tax, so anybody that came to the South, they got to come through the Yankees got to come through the South to get to Florida and
right.
have a national sales tax and let the prostitutes and the drug dealers, when they buy their cars or buy whatever they buy at 7-Eleven or whatever, let them help pay for the government. These people that are working off the books, that get rid of the IRS, get rid of the income tax, and let a national sales tax. And we say, well, they can't do that. That's too complicated. Hey, they put a U.S. government sales tax on our gasoline. They put a U.S. government tax on our phone bill every month. If they can do that, they can put a sales tax on everything. And you know what?
Not to mention your tobacco and your alcohol.
Exactly. They can do that. Why can't they just put it like we have a state sales tax across the board and have a small national sales tax across the board to help fund the government of the Confederate States of America or the whatever they want to call it, the Confederation of America, or the heck, they can call it the SEC if they want to, you know. So whatever they want to call it, we would just have a tax that everybody pays, and you don't go after a person's income. And they say, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. It's not fair to the rich wouldn't have to pay their poor share. I guarantee you the sales tax on a Mercedes is a lot more than the sales tax on a used Yugo. So
right.
when you're buying big item tickets, you're paying a lot more sales tax. Another point, if we had the original 11 Confederate states in this new confederation, 9 out of the 11 states would have warm water ports on the Gulf and on the South Atlantic that never freeze in the wintertime, and we could trade with anybody in the world that we wanted to. Also, the two states that don't have ports on the Gulf or on the South Atlantic are on the Mississippi River, and they could ship their goods down the Mississippi and out through New Orleans. One other thing
yes.
that these people always throw at us, and they say, well, you know, the South just couldn't defend itself. We have to have the might of the United States military to defend us. Well, my point is, it was the Yankee imperialist government that suckered us into wars against Spain in 1898, into the Great War in Europe in 1918, and into the Second World War in 1941, because Roosevelt tried and tried and tried to get us into a war with Germany, and the Germans wouldn't take the bait, so he had to go start a war with Japan and get a backdoor war with Germany so he could protect all his communist buddies. We got lied into a war in Vietnam with the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution. If we were a free, independent South, why would we want to go all over the world forcing the American ideal of transgenderism and liberalism and, you know, all the other garbage that we force on these countries? And why would we need a huge military to do that? You think about how much money we could save with not having a military that we brags about. It's been, 85 countries around the world or something like that.
Yes.
You know, we're in our country. We protect our borders and let Saudi Arabia and Yemen and the Polynesian islands and Australia and everybody else live the way they want to live. And leave us. We leave them alone, they leave us alone. And they always
yeah.
talk about, well, we have to be an ally with Israel. That's the only friend that we have in the Middle East is the Israeli government right there. Well, that's why we have to give them, $6 billion a year in foreign aid or whatever it is. Well, if we weren't allies with Israel, maybe we'd have a lot of friends in the Middle East. Maybe we wouldn't need an ally of Israel if we didn't bend over backwards to support them and all the illegal things they've done to the Palestinians and the Syrians and the Iranians and everyone else in the Middle East. Maybe we wouldn't have to have that ally. And so
ask the survivors of the USS Liberty if Israel's our friend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've talked about that a lot on Eddie's program, and he's had some of the sailors on here on the program that were double-crossed by Lyon Lyndon and McNamara and John McCain Sr. that double-crossed those people. Were trying to kill 294 American sailors and Marines and just sink that ship so there were no survivors. So, yeah, that's a great ally to have there.
And one other thing, I got kicked off a local radio program and got in an argument with the host because he said, well, if the South had won the war and we were an independent country, we couldn't have defeated Nazi Germany. We just wouldn't have the technology to defeat Nazi Germany. I said, well, first thing, Phil, maybe we wouldn't have been in a war with Nazi Germany. The second point is the South could have done just fine because it was the South, the Confederate States of America, not the United States, that built the first ironclad warship. It was the Confederate States of America, not the United States, that built the first submarine to sink an enemy warship. It was the Confederate
States. First electronically detonated mines.
Detonated mine in the Yazoo River. Yes, sir. And I went down about three or four things. Well, we've got to go to a break right now. We've got to go to a break. Click. That was the end of that. So I was never allowed back on that radio program. So
yeah, they don't want to be the facts.
No. Like Archie Bunker. My mind's made up. Don't confuse it with no facts. Dare you, meathead. So dare.
There you go. Oh, Gene, the
one more fact.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Too is that, you know, people have bought into the Yankee lie that bigger is better, and that you have to be this huge continental political association to be a viable country. Well, you know what? About 85% of the rest of the countries in the world would beg to disagree with that.
Absolutely.
If you look at the 11 states of the old Confederacy individually, whether by population or by land area, all of the southern states are as big or bigger than most of the countries of Western and Eastern Europe.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
You know, Switzerland would easily fit within Georgia. Now, who in their right mind would try to argue that Switzerland is not a viable, stable country? You know, Alabama is bigger than Austria. Who would argue that Austria is not a stable, viable country? Nobody. Well, then why could you not equally argue that Alabama could be just as viable and stable an independent country as Austria? Or Ireland.
Yes,
we're bigger than Ireland. We're bigger than England, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so whether it's by land area or population or by economic might, and as you mentioned too, Southern ingenuity, Yankee ingenuity, my foot, you know, we Southerners have had to do more with less longer than most people on the face of the earth. You know, we can make something, nothing. Because we've had to out of necessity, because for 150 years we've been occupied and impoverished by an empire that hates our guts.
Yep.
Now,
right.
Just think what we could do if we were free of those people. If we were out from under the thumb and out and not being robbed blind and not having our boys and now our daughters sent halfway around the world to kill people and break things on behalf of Jewish bankers and big corporations. Just think how prosperous we could be. It's not a big stretch of the imagination, folks. You don't have to think about this. What you have to do, though, is you have to think of this dispassionately and logically. If you are going to allow your emotions to rule your thinking, then obviously Southern independence makes no sense to you. But if you think about it logically and dispassionately, it makes perfect sense.
Well, look at the bottom line. You know,
it's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because as you said earlier, there is no reform in the U.S. empire. You know, circle back to that real quickly. You know, you talk about even if the Republicans sweep the midterm elections. Well, okay, folks. Again, let's strip the emotion out and let's look at it logically. Let's look at the record of the Republican Party since Ronald Reagan in 1980. What have they done that has rolled back one single thing? Nothing.
Zero.
Nothing.
Zero.
Guys,
there's
the music.
Abysmal failure.
Looks like we're completely out of time. I want to thank you guys, Mark and Bitter Ender, for coming on tonight. I think we made the point. Mark said, why would anybody want to join the union if you were already free? And, you know, we also made the point, look how evil the Sodom of the Potomac government is. Look at all the hell. If you like your kids to be taught this LGBT stuff, if you want your son to come home and say he wants to be a girl, if you want your daughters and sons to be killed in foreign wars, then go ahead and join the Sodom of the Potomac. And we also wanted to let you know all the bad things that are coming down, like the United States military starting to police the public. I hope you got all of that, people. But we've come completely out of time. Thank you so much for tuning in, Blood River Radio audience. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Cameron. Good night, everybody.